We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We are joined. A man has written two books about Junior, and I know for a fact, and you know for a fact, knows Junior as well as anybody. Jim Trotter, one of the truly great authors and commentators on pro football, has agreed to get up in the early morning hours and join us this morning to talk about his role, and he has a big part in this 30 for 30. Jim, good morning to you.
Hey, John. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, my friend. How
Jim,
are you?
Jim, first of all, I'd like to say it's an honor to speak to you, man. I mean, you know, this first time speaking to you, so it's a real honor to get a chance to holler at you.
No, Hugh, my pleasure, man. I appreciate you.
So Jim, I'm watching this 30 for 30 last night, and my mind was blown. I mean, I don't even know where to begin, but it to me, the way it was put together, it seemed like even though he was his biggest influence, his father was also, Jim Junior Seau's father was also kind of like his greatest downfall. Did you kind of see it the same way?
Yes and no. I mean, you have to understand the smaller culture that Junior grew up in, and you know, fathers express their love differently. So while it's true in our eyes, you know, based on how we were raised, it was considered harsh, some of the treatment that Junior got. But within their culture, there were a lot of fathers who were that way, who were very critical of the son, and there was always, you know, this stressing of the need to honor the family name, and any failures or any embarrassment, you know, it was taken very seriously. But there's no question, from an outsider's point of view, it was heartbreaking because, you know, as I think I don't know if they used it in the piece or not, but I know at one point I wrote in the book that, you know, a son is always looking for validation from his father. And Junior did everything he could to please his father. It meant a lot to him. And, you know, whenever something did not go right, and it clearly was not Junior's fault, but he had to accept responsibility for it. And, you know, I'll never forget the quote his sister told me. At a very young age, Junior had lost, I think it was some sort of youth basketball game or whatever, and he was really upset, and he had played well in the game, but his team had lost, and his sister was essentially asking, why are you so hard on yourself? You played great. And he said, no, I have to be better than me, you know. And he felt this need to lift everyone around him. So from a very young age, he was the chosen one, and he was under tremendous pressure.
Talking with Jim Trotter, who, and I don't just say this because he's an old friend of mine, but truly great offer, works for the NFL, covers football, written two books about Junior Seau, has a big part in this Junior Seau 30 for 30, which I highly recommend that you check out because it is very instructive and heart-wrenching, but it also says something about CTE, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. But Junior Seau had such an impact, Jim Trotter, on San Diego and his hometown. Where people, I was in the newsroom at CNN when Paul Caron looked at me and said, John, Junior Seau has just committed suicide. And I said, come on. That, you know, that's not the Junior. He would never do that. I was 3,000 miles away. Were people in denial about what he was going through?
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, a lot of people didn't know. Let me start with that. You know, I never hung out with Junior away from work unless it was for one of his foundation events. You know, Junior partied hard, and I'm not a partier, so I didn't know. I hadn't seen him in a while, so I didn't know all this stuff was going on. The last time I had seen him was he had had one of his charity foundation events shortly after his car had gone off the side of the cliff. And I remember looking at it, you know, I said, are you okay? Is everything all right? And, you know, typical Junior, he would sidestep everything and give you that big smile and like, nah, buddy, I just fell asleep. You know, it's all good. And so you don't know, or at least I didn't know. And so it wasn't until I started researching the book that I realized all of the things that he was actually going through. But, you know, the thing about it, John, you know, when you say what he meant to this community, I can't go anywhere in the NFL and guys that he played against, his contemporaries, who always will say to me, who know that we had a friendship, and say, man, I just miss the guy, you know, and then they'll say it out of the blue. And that's how it is, because he was just such a special dude, man. I mean, he lit up a room, He made you feel special, like you were his best friend, and he always had time for you. And he was the last guy that you would have anticipated that would do something like this. And I know we'll probably talk about, you know, the potential reasons, but he was a light, you know, he was a beacon. And, you know, I remember the first time my wife met him, and he doesn't shake her hand. He gives her a big hug and the smile. And, you know, when he looks in her eyes, it's like they've known each other for years. You know, she was mentioning to me the other night when the program was on. So it's just a tremendous loss, because there aren't many people in my mind that have that unique ability to make everyone around them feel special. You know, and that's a quality, a trait I wish I had and don't, but he did. And it didn't matter who you were. It didn't matter if you were a teammate. It didn't matter if you were a reporter. It didn't matter if you were a secretary. You know, a flight attendant, Junior just had that unique ability to make everybody feel special, man. And I can honestly say, you know, I know we're coming up on the nine-year anniversary of his death, and man, I miss the dude all the time. He was special.
You know, it's funny that you mentioned that, because I only met him one time. I met him at the Pro Bowl. But everything that you're saying about him, I could look back on that one meeting and say, yeah, that was kind of that guy. I mean, he was a very, very nice person when I met him, and very, very, you know, very, very kind. But when I look at this, when I watched the 30 for 30 last night, is it safe to say that once this happened to Junior Seau, was that when the NFL finally had that wake-up call and say, listen, there's something going on with these guys. We need to figure out what's going on.
Oh, I think absolutely. I mean, when you think about the other players who had died and been found to have CTE, people knew them, but they weren't superstars. And I don't mean that in any way to denigrate their legacy or anything like that. I'm just trying to be as honest as I can. You know, Junior was a Hall of Famer. He was a cut above. He was one of the greatest ever. And so when you have a guy like him with that ability, that track record, that resume, that charisma, all those sorts of things, who takes his life, yeah, it woke everybody up, because you're saying, you're looking at him from the outside and you're saying, he had it all. Why would he do this? And so I don't think there's any question that, you know, the NFL was dealing with some things, but to have someone of Junior Seau's stature take his own life and then be found to be suffering from CTE, there's no question that I think that was really a wake-up call for the NFL.
Your books, Jim Trotter, and this 30 for 30 are so powerful. Is this another, you know, reminder? I mean, will this register at all with the NFL?
Well, I think the fact that they've already settled the concussion lawsuit,
right?
You know, I don't know. I think it's somewhat beyond that. But let me say this. I want to be clear on this. I don't believe that you can draw a straight line based on everything I know and say, you know, it was A plus B equals C as it relates to Junior and CTE and whether or not he took his life because of it. There is no question that at the end of his life, things had changed for him from a personality standpoint. How much of that was due to CTE, there's really no way of knowing, and there's no way for me to know, clearly, as a non-medical professional. What I do know is that by the end of his life, or a man that I had known who was so detailed and so disciplined for much of his young adult life, all of a sudden was really reckless and was doing things at the end of his life that I didn't recognize. So I always knew that he partied hard and all of that, and that he drank and that sort of thing. But, you know, there were some addictive and obsessive behaviors at the end, and then you start hearing stories about the mood swings from one to the other, where one minute he's fine and then he's extremely angry and whatnot, and then the snap of a finger, you know, he's back to being what we consider normal Junior. At the end, he was gambling, you know, heavily, and I mean heavily. I remember one story, one person who was, I don't want to say a sidekick, but who was with him, went to Vegas with him and was telling me how, you know, he went into the high rollers room and played a blackjack table all by himself, and he got up like $2 million in 20 minutes, and within the next half hour, he had lost $3 million, you know. So, and this was a guy back when he was playing, when he opened his restaurant, he was so disciplined that every night at 1 and 2 in the morning, he would get the receipts from the restaurant that night, and he would go over them, you know, and he was that meticulous about his money and everything else. And now at the end, you hear about him gambling in this way. And the reality was, at the end of his life, he was broke. You know, when he finished playing, his financial planner had set him up so that he never had to work another day in his life if he chose not to. But Junior, because of what he was doing, had basically blown all of that money, and he was embarrassed by it. You know, his sister was trying to tell him, hey, you know, you need to file for bankruptcy, and he was saying that he couldn't, you know, the shame and whatnot. And then he was concerned about, you know, taking care of his mom and dad. How would he be able to do that? So there were all these different pressures that were on him at the end. But to me, truthfully, the one story that stands out more than anything in the book is the story that his daughter tells, his only daughter, who's the love of his life, and he is everything to her. And he would typically go off the grid for a week or so, and they just knew that to be dad.
Mm-hmm.
But this time he was off the grid for several weeks, or several months, I should say. And finally she went to see him. She had written a letter for school about the, you know, a person who was so impactful in her life, and she had written this paper for school. And instead of just turning it in, she took that letter, that paper, to his house to read it to him. And she's crying her heart out about what he means to her and everything else. And he's basically looking right through her at a wall, and tears are coming down his face with no emotion. And he tells her, I don't know how to love. I don't know how to feel love. And anyone who knew Junior, that's not Junior.
That's not Junior.
So that's
Jim,
what I say.
Jim Trotter, one good people. It's great to talk to you, Jim. I do appreciate you taking a few minutes
early
this
morning.
Appreciate
you. Thank you.
All right, buddy. Thanks, guys.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.